Without any backbone to it, see.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good May the 7th, I think it is. May 7th, 2018. Welcome, 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 welcome. Man. Good to be home. Good to be in front of the camera. Good to, golly, just a lot in my heart. Going to try to pour out with you here this morning. Just turned from an event we had in Maine. David Arthur put together for us up there in Maine, and Chad Estes had an event down in deep in the heart of Texas, and he had a great gathering down there. Got a lot of stuff I want to try to update you on here today, and just good to be home. Good. Always good to be home. I was in Bangor. I always find that interesting. I always learned that Bangor, Maine. That's what it seems to me, Bangor. But you find out when you get up there, it's Bangor, Maine. I was up there for the weekend at the event of the Man Up Conference that David Arthur put together there. We'll talk about that a little bit here in a minute. We had about 28 people that showed up. I remember the first one of those, Chad. Remember when I came down to Texas and it was me and you and Michelle Estes, and we had Rusty come in and join us, and thought, well, this is a great idea, and walked out the door, and there were Glenn and Corinne coming in a little bit late, and look what's happened down in Texas as a result of that. So I never ever take for granted the opportunity to go plant a seed. Just go plant seeds. That's what we're supposed to do. Go ye into all the world, Gospel of Jesus Christ, teach them to observe all I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. So there's a lot of, we've been doing a lot of seed planting, a lot of it. And there's a lot of crazy things that are going on in the world, but I just got to tell you how encouraged I was, am, I continue to be amazed by the people we come across who are watching, joining us, maybe not live. Many are listening to it on they used to call that tape delay, but now it's on the podcast or whatever. And it is amazing when we the 28 people that we had, of course, David Arthur put it on for us. But man, I think the people that, you know, these people watch the show. It just blows me away. And I'm in Maine and they're watching the show. And I'm hearing from far-flung places, and they're watching the show. I ran into Shelly and her husband from New Hampshire, Sherry and Eric, I think it was. Sherry and Eric from New Hampshire. She watches the show. She's a faithful supporter, neighbor there. I wrote some names down here. Just try to. Harold Pelletier. Can I tell you? Oh, my goodness. I could go. The conversations we had. And Jack and Bob and Louise and Steve and Jane. Jane takes notes every day. And Sard showed up. And David Arthur and David's mom came. And Chris Kane and his wife. And oh my goodness, I'm just blown away. But here's what this encourages me and discourages me, kind of both. We're old. Our gatherings are old. Man, oh man, there are a lot of gray hairs in our crowd. First of all, I'm sorry if I forgot somebody's name. I just jotted them down as they came to me. A lot of gray hairs. And I was trying to share with them that, you know, we better wake up and better understand this. We were talking. There's some great people in Maine. Sarge, you have got yourself a crew that you can work up there in Maine. Bob and, oh my goodness, Harold and Jack. Oh, these guys are so awake and so understand what's going on and are so working locally to try to make a difference. They've studied history. They understand their state's constitution. They understand the scriptures and how they apply. And they are working tirelessly. I don't even know what that word means. They're really working, man, to try to do something. So we put together in a room 28 of them, 28 people up in Bangor, Maine. Actually, Brewster, I guess it was. But I tried to share with them. I want all of you to hear this, okay? Because this is one of the things I really, really came away with. Really did. We had a presentation that was done. Well, David did a great job again speaking, giving his testimony, speaking about homosexuality. But we had David had a another presenter, David, my brain went dead. Give me her name again. I didn't write that. Come on in here, David.
Diane Splits. She represented Mass Resistance.
Diane Splits, who represented Mass Resistance. She did a presentation on homosexual indoctrination and what they're doing to our kids. And it was just fabulous. As the discussion broke down, and we started to talk about what we need to do, moved into education. It was a consensus. There are a couple that are I'm banging over here today. A couple of people like Shelley and others, they've been on school boards. Jared's been on school boards. They understand what's going on, and they're saying the same thing to everybody. Get your kids out of there. Get your kids out of there. And then someone was talking yesterday about the indoctrination and homosexuality that's going on even in preschool now, in preschool indoctrination. And we're all sitting around, we're saying, how can we let that go on and yada, yada, yada. And I said, wait a minute, here's what we're all missing. We're all missing this. They've already captured the parents of those preschoolers. The parents of the preschoolers have been indoctrinated. They don't see anything wrong with all this stuff anymore. And it's the grandparents. It's the gray hairs. We're the ones that say, oh, my goodness, what's going on? We have to figure out a way to get our kids. We got to figure out a way to get to the young kids. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But I'm encouraged that the old folks are at least waking up. You give me a guy like Jack and a guy like Harold and a guy like Bob Roy. I said, Bob, man, the devil takes Tylenol when you get up. He's one of those silent assassins. He's working behind the scenes and people don't even know what's going on. I better be quiet, Bob. I'll get the FBI after you. Don't want to do that. So before I get going on really where my heart is this morning, I started, I guess, where my heart was already. They had a great gathering going on down there in Temple, Texas. I always want to say Austin and Waco, down in Temple, Texas. Chad had, I'm going to play a video that you made here, Chad, but fill us in a little bit, buddy, about what went on down there. Hey, folks, listen. You got to get one of these set up. You got to find like-minded people around you. You got to do it. I'm telling you, the fellowship is so rich. The discussions are so rich. I know this, Kevin Bushy, Sarge, He's got a group going up in Maine. He got 28 people in Maine. 28 people that came. Chad's in the 20s down in Temple, Texas. We need to get these little huddles. We need these huddles to be going on all across America. We need to do it. You need to begin to fellowship with like-minded people. And the same reaction we find, I wish there's something I could do about it. But the people in the room don't go to church. They love Jesus, but they don't go to church. No fellowship. I'll tell you a story about a conversation I had on the plane on the way home last night. I'll get to that. Chad, jump in here, Chad. Fill us in, man. We'll get your video up here. Tell us what went on. I'll check all my messages here.
Okay. Well, we kicked off on at 7 p.m. on Friday night. We had a handful of people show up, and then it's always good because you get to fellowship a little bit more before the thing really kicks off. And that's why I don't want people driving in or whatever and then just sit and spend the night at the hotel waiting for the morning to begin, you know what I'm saying?
Sure,
so
sure.
I want them to go ahead and come on over, and let's go ahead and break the ice if need be, and we hang out. So that first night we stay up till 11 or 12. And then turn right around and kick it off. Everybody starts showing up about 9:30, 10 o'clock, right in there. And I went ahead and made some breakfast on Saturday morning. So we did that and ate. If you think about the biblical days when people came together, they always fed one another. You know, there's a lot to be said about that. So when you eat, you have the fellowship, you can. It just, I think,
and as often as you do that in remembrance of him. See, the whole communion thing, I don't want to get onto that one, but we've turned fellowship, communion, fellowship, breaking bread together, we've turned it into another religious event, right? Go ahead, Chad. I'm sorry. As often as you do this, think of him. He's in the middle of it. As often as you eat and drink, he's in the middle of it. Go ahead.
That's right. So, we went ahead and kicked it off officially with the – we do a big circle prayer. We all hold hands, and, you know, there's a lot of power in that. And if you want to say something, say something. If you don't, it's okay. And then we work our way around. Then we got into our lesson, which was in Romans 2. It's just basically where our guideline is. So we begin reading, you know, like we do here in the show. And then we'll stop, we'll analyze it, and then it'll go wherever it goes. The rabbit trails and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's pretty amazing, the stuff. I mean, we bounced all over the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, talking about stuff, bringing it back in to context to that. And then, let's see, after we did that, then we took a few breaks and stuff like that. And then we went out and we did some little bit of shooting. I had set up a course here. I've been working hard on expanding my range out here so you could do some more stuff. And so that was pretty good. We did about 4 or 5 hours, four hours or so. Then came in, we ate, and we did a little bit more. And we stayed up again till almost midnight on Saturday, you know, hanging out, talking about scripture, you know, that kind of stuff. It just flowed. The whole thing just flowed.
Rich fellowship, huh? Just rich fellowship, you know?
Oh, man. It's priceless, you know? Yep. And again, you know, Sunday we did the, let's see. Well, we had communion, we had the baptisms and that kind of stuff. And, you know, it was just another big breakfast there in the morning. And just, again, it was just, people kind of lingered. Nobody wanted to leave, you know. I don't know. It was really hard to do this one. It was, I don't know. Each one of these is getting for people to leave, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, there's such a tight bond.
Not everybody can get there, right, Chad? So you're in the 20s with the numbers that you've had. You could probably think of 20 more who could have been there. If we had an emergency meeting where everybody had to get together in Texas, you could probably get upwards of 40, maybe 50 people that could come. You have that the people that you're already – and, Chad, it started from me and you and Glenn and Corinne. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, of course. You know, anybody that wants to do it, look, you're going to have to do some legwork. You're going to have to beat the bushes. You're going to have to eliminate excuses. Sometimes people, look, they want to come, but really they're just strapped. There's a lot of people, really, that are out of work. They just need some help. And so we try to alleviate that with the gas or a hotel. I mean, I pack as many people in here as my house as I can. So if you don't have that situation, that's okay. But you just work with whatever you got. You know,
I'm sorry, Chad. Folks, I want you to know this. This is what, when you support our work, this is what it does. We help people get there. See, I think that this is me. I don't believe in tithing. I don't believe in it. I believe in giving. And the scripture says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there be meat in my house. Now, I think when they're talking about meat, they're talking about meat. That's what I think. They're talking about something to eat, supplies. And so when we have, Chad has one of these gatherings, if somebody can't make it, they don't have the money to get there, your donations help them come. We don't let anybody not come because they can't afford it. You understand that? That the money that you're supporting us with is going out to those who need help, you know? And so, you know, Chad's been wonderful with that, with all his Chad's just, you know, he's put his life into it. And we went up to Maine and did the same thing. David Arthur, we helped David Arthur up there. We helped people come. We did. So we think that's the way it's supposed to work. You're going to think this is crazy. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We think if somebody has a need, they shouldn't have to go to the bank, take out a 10% interest loan. We don't think that. That's the way the world operates. We're not supposed to be like that. So we try to plant seeds into the lives of a lot of other people. Jared, jump in here real quick, Jared, because you were there in Texas as well. Hey, folks, if this bores you, we're going to go. Hey, go get a cup of coffee. Come back in 20 minutes or so. We'll get into some rip-roaring stuff here. This is important. This is important because you need to do this. Some of you out there are simply lone wolves. And you are going to get eaten, man. You're going to get eaten. If you think you're going to, with everything that's coming down the pike, you think you're going to make it through alone, you're going to get eaten. And we're trying to help you put people around you. And you say, well, wow, I can't do it, coach. I don't know anybody. Well, we'll help put a group around you. David Arthur's been in the program. I don't know. How long did it take him to get organized something? I don't know. So, Jared, come on. You were there. Jared flew all the way from Maine. We crossed, I guess, to Temple, Texas. Go ahead, Jared.
I guess the main takeaway that I've got now this morning is I had never been there, right? I had never met. Well, I've met some of these people, but I'd never been there. I'd never been to this event. And you just roll. You can roll into it, and there's no friction. There's no. Can I trust these people? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And you already know that because they're Christians, you know, and they're doing the work of the King. They're doing the work, and so that. It was just great. Like Victor, this guy Victor was the first time I'd ever met him, and his son Victor, and just a great, amazing, strong Christian man who's just, you know, quiet. And you'd say, Victor, what do you think about this? And he'll tell you, and you're like, wow, that was like straight from God, you know. So it was just great, you know, the people and there's no friction. You can trust them. You can trust them. That's it.
Amen. Amen. Dale, listen, I just noticed something down here in the chat. Dale Socia, Pastor Dale, he's at Rusty's house. Went over to put the flooring in on Rusty's house. See, this is when you build relationships like this, you're not running the race alone. Hear me. A lot of you are running the race alone. It's not supposed to be like that. It was never designed to do that. Jesus sent them out two by twos, at least two by twos. Somebody's got to have your back. And somebody's telling me this weekend, the full armor, when you put on the full armor, you know, the armor, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird your loins with truth, shod your feet, preparation of gospel, peace, carry the shield of faith, and sword of the spirit. It's all frontal. It's all frontal because you're facing your enemy. You're moving into the enemy. And there's nothing on the back. Why is there nothing on the back? Because the other guy behind you's got your back. And they would stand back to back, and they would have each other. They would have each other covered. And we have so many Christians out there that are doing this thing alone. And it wasn't designed to be done alone. Right?
Well, Dave, I have to say, we talked about that in our brigade meeting, that of each other's flank. And we gave, you know, when we put on the armor pushing forward, we need to have that wedge. You have a wedge, so you got security to your right, security to your left, and you just keep pushing through it. Okay, and you don't worry about it. If you're biting, the enemy can flank around you and backstab you, so to speak.
Amen. Amen. Remember this, in order for them to be betray you, they gotta be sitting at your table, they gotta be close to you. Go ahead, Jen.
That's right. Also, I wanted to say, man, I missed you.
What's that? You broke up.
I'm going to give a shout out to Josh Manna and tell him I missed him.
Josh, I missed you, man. I'd love to have been there. We got to quit scheduling these on the same weekend. So go ahead real quickly, Dale. Fill us in because Rusty needs help. Dale's got his back. That's the way it's supposed to work. Are you down there? You down there right now, Dale?
I am down here. We got in late last night and we brought all the flooring in the house so we can acclimate a little bit to the house, but you know, it's just getting ready to post in there, brother. What's vitally important. And I know you do this because these meetings are vitally important. I am a pastor and so my sheep follow me. And so I've got people from my church, including my daughter and my son, and you got to take it from those meetings and bring it it's nice to train them, but training is for war and then not engaging them anymore. So we're down here and we'll be be getting at it today, and I can bring some reports on Rusty and Jeremiah and the family and stuff. But I hope it's interesting. I appreciate you, you know, you guys have been working us. We're getting pretty close to the floor covering. So.
You're breaking up a little bit, Dale. Breaking up, man. He's probably whispering because they're a little bit behind us there. So bless you, Dale. Dale's a doer of the word, which is what we're supposed to be. Let me take a break right here, and let's play a little bit. Let's play, Jared, a little bit of that video that Chad put together. Folks, you can do this. You can do this. Now, the first guy we're going to see on the video, if I'm right, drove from El Paso, which is what, Chad? 9 hours. This guy drove 9 hours. Is that right, Chad?
That's correct. 9 hours.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Yeah, that's one way, too.
One way. Yeah, 9 hours the other way. 9 hours the other way. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. Wow, 7:20 already. All right. Jared hasn't been to bed either. He took the red eye or whatever. Jared just got home, so let's give him a little bit of slack here as he tries to pull all this thing together. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
This is from the Light Salt Brigade here in Temple, Texas at the Estes Ranch. This was a very beautiful and very enlightening weekend for myself as I was baptized and I was born again in the blood of Christ. Thank you to Dave, our coach. How you doing there, Dave? Man, this is just absolutely beautiful. If I hadn't listened to you, I would have never found out about this event. I would have never found out about Chad Estes. I would have never found out about the fellowship that exists here. It's absolutely phenomenal. We were pretty disappointed that we didn't go to the Man Up convention up there with Brother Dave Arthur. But here, we had a very, very delightful time. The shooting, excellent. Very good techniques. It was just absolutely marvelous. I am so grateful to my Lord and Savior Jesus, Son of God, that we're here and I was able to go ahead and save myself. Save myself in the glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
That's some fruit there.
All right.
The Jared.
Hey, folks. Jared Heath. I'm out here at Chad's ranch for his Salt Light Brigade event, and it's awesome. And I recommend, I'm doing a southern accent here, I recommend everybody get together, either locally or come down to this event if you can. God's moving in America, and he's really building these communities together, and it's people who are willing to share each other's burdens. You come in here and you meet all these people, you meet 20 other people who are in the Word every day. But more than that, they're doing something with their faith. Their faith with action. Their faith with action people. And we need that. We need that. You need that. So I've come here and it's, we shot guns. We communed with each other. We worshiped together. We discerned together. And if you can come out here, come out here. And that's it.
Hey man, get one gone, man. Get one started.
This is Paul Claremont, and I am out here in Texas with the Salt and Light Brigade. I'm from New York, and we're looking for people who are in New York that want to participate in the gathering and get the ball rolling on having group meetings with the Salt and Light Brigade in New York.
All right, Paul.
My name is Leslie.
I'm Lexi, and we're here at Chad's house doing
Chad
fellowship.
Chad Michelle's, yeah.
Yeah, Chad Michelle's. Having a good time. Y'all should come down here because we did a Sunday service. We did baptisms, two baptisms. We did, what else did we do? Communion. We did eating good breakfast.
Fellowship.
Yeah, fellowship. So, yeah. What else do you want to say?
Well, it was a full weekend of really talking to each other and strengthening our personal relationships, also our personal relationship with Jesus, and we got to meet people from all over. Some folks came from El Paso and even got baptized, which was very special. Chad's son also came in and got baptized, and it was such a beautiful moment. Everything was perfect. It was, the timing was absolutely right. It was perfect, the weather and everything. And we all just came around as one, as a unit. And really, I think our Salt and Light Brigade here has strengthened in the past couple of months, that it's like a real family.
Hi, Coach Dave. My name is Anthony Nello. Senior, I'm Anthony Jr.'s father, and I just want to say that we're blessed at this weekend at Chad's home in Sheld. With all the people I've met, they've encouraged me to step out, and I ask for people like-minded to do the same, not to be in your comfort zone, to stretch it out a little bit, and the Lord will bless you as He blessed me.
All right, everybody, Victor has come to us and he wants to recommit his life to Christ. So we're going to celebrate that with a baptism, making a commitment here. David's going to read us a few words here, and we'll get started.
Amen. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body, being many, are one body also, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Celebrate.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and step in here.
Deep breaths, kind of cool.
Ready? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus Christ, we baptize you.
Yay! Hey. 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 Hey.
Thank you. Here's risen. Thank you. Woo. Thank you, Lord,
brother.
Next. Get a bigger towel.
Get this man a towel in here.
And look who shows up.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, everybody, we're gathered here.
Chad's boy.
Baptism. This is a little bit more special to me. That's my son, my oldest. And so I'm grateful that he's made the commitment to accept Christ into his life. You can bring your Bibles down there. That's all right. That's okay. All right. Chase, do you accept Jesus Christ into your heart to... make a commitment to him?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good enough. All right.
Hold on just a second, David. What do you got? I'd like for him to just give a little bit of a testimony about how this came about.
Okay, yeah.
Real briefly.
Well, we always go to the Hear to Watchman conferences. And the first one we went to, and on that Sunday, we saw the people getting baptized. But really, it's just for me. Amen. And so I figured if I did this, and a guy from work told me, he's like, if you do it, your life will get better. It's easier for you to get through things a little bit. Man, things aren't as hard. So.
Well, you got some. You got some help.
Yeah, you got a little bit of help behind you. So.
Which is the scripture that we read earlier about being baptized into one body, and so now you're becoming a part of all of us, and we're here to be
right.
A part of you, and so
amen.
We want you to know that you're not alone in this endeavor, and that you're just making a public recognition of who Christ is in your life and what He did for you, and that we're all part of it with you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, man.
All right, so step in here.
I think we could do some
here. Okay, all right.
Like you said.
All right, we're going to have to get in.
Arguing to the end, isn't he? Arguing to the end.
Sit down on the edge, and He's going to lean back.
All right. You take the hat off?
All right. Hold your nose. Do we have to?
You better.
Okay.
Take the hat off.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, we baptize you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready.
All right, who else?
Okay, that's it. That's it, Jared. Cool, huh? Cool. Man, oh, man. Do you have any idea how many people need to be baptized? Adults, I'm talking about people who were sprinkled when they were young kids. So I'm really glad, Chad, that you've incorporated that, and we've tried to incorporate it in other areas. Just reaction. Anybody, a reaction there. Jump in here, man. This is church. That's what I say.
Just sorry I missed it, Dave. I wished I could have went.
Yeah, well, there'll be others. Absolutely. We'll get one going on down there in Virginia as well. And again, it's a fellowship, man. We really need the fellowship. I hear somebody. Hey, come on in.
Hey, Coach. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, I just want to just make a comment that in these meetings, it's just not reading the scripture that each of us individually learn from others individually as we just have casual conversations. Mm-hmm. And so there were those who were burdened by things that were weighing them down. And just through a conversation, you know, these burdens have been lifted from their life. And so it really is a life-changing thing for some people. And it can happen at any moment. It's not a prescription service. There's no defined start time, no defined end time. It's wherever the Lord leads us.
Just a fellowship, just a fellowship. It's like having a cookout with the Lord in the middle of it, and we just don't get many opportunities to be able to do that. And
hey,
you know,
hey, Coach.
Yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. You know. David Hawkins made a comment to me, and it just rang my bell.
You know, you were there, right, Glenn? Were you there, Glenn?
Yes, okay. Yes, sir. And he said, boy, he says, this is just like the church in Acts. He says nobody was leading the Bible study. Everybody was participating. You know, it was as we would read scripture, people would comment on it, and then they would bring in their own experience to illuminate the scripture we just read. And it was the best example of iron sharpens iron.
Mm.
And it was the Lord speaking through people and other, you know, it rang other people's bell.
Amen.
Amen. It was just amazing.
And it puts a demand on your own faith, doesn't it, Glenn? I mean, because you have to, you know, you sit there and somebody, they're talking about something and then the Lord's tapping you on the heart and you know, you want to say something and you have to step out of your comfort zone and say it. And
somebody would say something. And it reminded me of an experience, another experience that I had. And then I could relate that. And it's just scripture came alive this weekend. And it was not like, you know, how you would say, you know, don't you wish that you could stop the pastor in the middle and ask a question?
Amen. You know, yeah.
So we didn't have to worry about that because if somebody had something to say, they could say it.
Mm-hmm. I always use this illustration. I can't fix anything. I'm not mechanically inclined at all. And I always feel stupid when I go to my mechanic and he says, oh, it's the magneto's not connected here down here to trombone. The trombone's not connected. I never say anything because I don't know how stupid I am. And sometimes that's the way we are in church. Sometimes we're in church and they're talking about stuff and we don't really know what to mean. But we don't say anything. We go home, we come back the next week and we don't get it. And so it's a free flow of ideas and a free flow of talents and a free flow of it's just all good. So I want to move on. Bless you, Chad. Bless all you folks who went down there. David, Arthur, I didn't give you a chance, David, any reaction. David's moving to Ohio today, coming to Ohio today. David, your reaction from the weekend. I don't know if we have any other, a lot of them up there listen on tape delay or whatever we call. Go ahead, Dan. He did leave? All right. All right. He may. All right. Well, if he comes back in, we'll get him in there. Cool. All right. So listen, on the way home, don't forget June 14th and 15th. You need to get here. Get here. Put it on your calendar now. What is this? This is May. 6 weeks. You've got 6 weeks to make a plan to get here. If there was something important that you had to get here for, you would get here. Go on the website, sign up so we know you're coming, and we're gonna fellowship like this, and we're gonna go take it to the streets. It'll be a time of growth. It'll be really, really good. You can find all that at CoachDaveLive.com. Love for you to be able to come. Did I hear somebody try to come in? No? Yes? No? So I was on the plane last night. When I fly, I don't like to talk to people. First of all, you can't hear in the plane. And other than sharing the gospel, I don't really have much I want to talk about with people. I told you I'm not a small talk guy. Not. So I get on the plane in my garb. You know how I am. I'm a walking billboard. So people will probably, they see me come walking down the plane, they probably throw their purse on top of the seat so nobody's, so the last thing I do is sit in it. But I plop down in the seat with this young lady. I couldn't tell how old she was, 30-some was my guess, 31, 32. We're flying from Philadelphia to Ohio, so I assume she's a Buckeye. We start small talking. And, you know, here I am right now. You know where I'm coming from, right? I mean, you do. And through a series of events, as the conversation began to unfold, found out she went to a Christian high school, raised in a Christian home. She was military. She was living in the UK. To his home, the death of her mother. And as the conversation developed and I kept pressing in, she'd gone to Bob Jones University as well. Graduated from a Christian high school, a Christian home, went to Bob Jones University. His three children, military, raising your children in Christian schools, but I sensed something wasn't right. Just something wasn't right. She was very, very loving, very friendly. Something wasn't right. And I began to really burrow in. And when I got right down to it, you know what it was? She'd been so wounded by religion. Christian home, Christian school, Christian college. And as a conversation developed, her box was so small. Bob Jones University, they think they're the only ones going to heaven down there, you know. Religion this and religion that. And all the stuff that she'd seen, and her mother had just died, and her sister was sick, and she was a Christian, but she'd really been wounded by religion. And that started to come out of her. She wanted to serve the Lord, and she felt so dry. And it was amazing as this conversation developed. And I thought, I just couldn't, see, I guess I could relate to it because you've got to remember, I'd spent time in a Christian school, teaching, working with kids I've been in the public schools for 25 years, and I spent another 7-8 years in a Christian environment, Christian schools, and I'm going to tell you something. A lot of things about the Christian school were worse. They were worse. The Christian school, in a lot of ways, were worse because it was so phony. That's what she was relating to me without really, really coming out and saying it. Talked about her sister, how bitter her sister was, how her dad was so positive. Her dad was the life of the party, and her mom has been sick for a while. And, man, I just felt the pain coming out of this Christian trained woman. And really, when I got right down to it, didn't really have a whole lot to hang on to. I thought, Lord, whoever we missed him, what are we missing? She was, some of you military guys, I don't know if Sarge is in here, and I don't know, I wasn't a military guy. Her husband was a JAG. She said her husband's maybe going to make general. I think that's a pretty big deal, isn't it? I think it's a pretty big deal. And she was a big deal. She was a logistic expert, and she had overseen a crew of 250 people underneath her. She was a big deal. So I began to probe about Christianity and the service and Christianity and the military and all of this stuff. And for some reason I was trying to get an eruption of Christ to come out of her. I kept pushing and pushing, probing, trying to get to the bottom of it. And the bottom of it was religion. It was religion. I said she loves the Lord. I said she's somewhat separated from the Lord. She loves him. And as I was getting off the plane, I never talked to people like this on the plane. It was a God time, God moment. I saw my own daughter in her. And I saw what we do so much of is we, even though we put our kids in a Christian school, her parents put her in a Christian school, I think, to protect her. And she talked about some of the stuff she'd seen in Christian schools. And as she was getting off, as we were getting ready to get off, I looked deep in her eyes. She was this close, and I looked deep in her eyes. And I said to her, you're going to remember this the rest of your life, what I'm about to tell you. Her eyes moistened up a little bit. But the Lord has need of you. He needs you so bad. And if you're living your life, you have all this Christian religious education, and now you're living your life just for military or the advancement or whatever it might be. The Lord has opened doors and has put you in places and put you in front of people, and he has need of you. And as we walked, she walked down the catwalk or whatever that thing is. She was in it, got a little bit of chivalry. I got off. I let her walk ahead of me. I was following behind. My cross hat, my red shirt on. And as she went up the runway, she stopped. She turned back. She looked back at me. I said, the Lord has need of you. And she said, I'm going to remember this moment. So I look across of what I see going on, what I experienced this weekend, and realize the urgency that we need to reach the next generation, not with religion and not with do's and don'ts, and to give them a faith in Jesus Christ that isn't just a shelter, just shielding them from the world. And I talked to her about get those three little kids that she has and get out and begin to do ministry with those three little kids, because those three little kids, they're the arrows. They're the next generation. And look at my generation. And some of us have kept our children. Some of us have lost our children. And then we look at our grandkids. What are we going to leave to our grandkids? And try to give her a generational vision for her life. There's no generational vision in the hearts of our young people. No generational vision. And it's because we've bought into this lie that we're about out of here. And maybe we are about out of here, but we've bought into that lie. So therefore, we seem to have no commitment and no responsibility and no desire to advance the kingdom of God here and now. And she talked about the dryness of the religion in Great Britain and what it's like, and she can't find a church and she's not getting fed. And so I say what I always said. You started. You can do it. You got all these talents and all these gifts. What are you waiting on?
Amen.
Brothers, thanks, Mark. I'm just telling you, man. I'm just telling you. You walk in, you walk into our churches, and our churches are either fluff or they're empty. It's either old religion, powerless religion, or charismania, crazy stuff, bringing Beyonce into our services and smoke machines and lighting. And the truth is, when the people walk out of there, they ain't got no power. Are you there, Roger? Are you there, Roger? I know he was in earlier. Maybe he had to get out. Yeah, Roger. Roger. Because Roger calls me. I'm in Maine, and Roger calls me. And Roger, to the best of your ability, share with me what you would share with the folks what you shared with me on Sunday morning as you were sitting there in the parking lot.
Well, it you know, I'm still attending an organized church. It's a Southern Baptist church, about 1,200 a Sunday. And more than once, I will just sit in the parking lot. And I did that yesterday for a while. And I see people just scurrying into church, ragtagged clothing, no respect for God. And I'm not big on shirt and ties, but I just see that. You know, the wife's got a Bible, the husband's got a cup of coffee, dragging the kids in. And it almost breaks my heart, because I see this obligatory movement on Sunday. I see people going into church without even their Bibles. You know, if I go to a Cleveland Cavaliers game, I'm going to probably wear a Cavaliers shirt.
That's right.
Just running into their church without even their Bible. And I'm just thinking, do they really think this is going to develop their relationship with God? And there's good people that go there. But Dave, it's like the huddle masses just gathering and heading in to sit for an hour and a half and then leave. And I'm sorry for what anybody would say. That's my observation.
Yeah, yeah.
A Monday through Saturday building that is huge and big, pretty much sitting empty. You hear there's 35 or 40% of the church is not even doing any service for him. And then I think, how many of these people are even discipling anybody? They just run in, Dave. I don't know about, you know, they just, Sunday is.
Don't know what else to do, right?
Grab the kids. Mm-hmm. In some way, if we just get this kid to the third grade church, you know, and there's benefit there. My wife works in that age group, the preschool. But if we just do this, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm sad. The scripture says
there's sheep being led to the slaughter. Not that they're being slaughtered in the church, but it's just a reflection of the world. We send kids to public schools and they don't get educated. We complain about the lousy education they're getting. And we send people to church and they're not being educated. But we don't complain about the lack of education. And I ran into Bob Roy and Jack and Harold and Louise and these senior saints that are so full of vim and vigor and the idea that we've got to get this to the next generation. We've got to do something. We have to have an urgency. And I think, Lord, why isn't there more of an urgency in more people? They are teaching our children sodomy in kindergarten. And there's no outrage. There's no pushback. There's no reaction. And everywhere you look, I had a guy email me. He says, Coach, quit bragging on the devil. I said, what? He says, yeah, your show, you're always talking about what the devil's doing. Just focus on Jesus. I think, ah, yeah.
You know, Dave.
War. Yeah.
Think of you know, a month ago we lost Billy Graham, and I think he was a good man, I guess. But I think we made the comment on the show of, you know, Hugh Hefner and Billy Graham, who has influenced our culture more the last 50 years? Mm. It's not close. It's not even close. His name is Hugh Hefner.
Amen. Why? Why? Why does that happen? See, I use this one, Roger. Jared, let me see if I find the right one. I think it's, no. Daggone, I hate it when this happens to me. It'd be better for you if they put a millstone around your neck and throw you into the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead one of these little ones that believe in me. I thought it was Matthew 7, but it isn't. Anybody know where that is? Millstone. What? Say it again. I don't think so, but maybe. Where's Pastor Dale? He always barks those things right out to me. And so one of the things that I said, oh, I got so much in here in this fire. I don't. Hey, Mark, this thing's full of data. I want to do some data mining in here for people. See, I'm looking in Matthew, but it's not Matthew. It is in Luke. It might be Luke 7. Maybe it's Luke 7. Maybe I got the wrong one.
Is it Luke 17, 2?
There, it might be it, brother. It's Luke 17, 2. Jared, you're right.
Jared has it up.
Okay, good. Okay, now listen, folks. Now listen, you better listen. People saying, well, the Bible says it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Oh, yeah? Okay, dude. All right. We're going to find out. We're going to find out because it says right here. Then he said unto the disciples, it's impossible, but that offenses would come. Do I have time to read all that I want to? I think it's important. No, that's not 17:2. That's not what that's it. That's not what I'm looking for. There's a correspondence. Anyway, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe to him through whom the offenses will come. It is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones that believe in me. See, in the other verse, where would that, my battery's low. Somebody help me out here. Where is it? Is it in Matthew? Where is it? Matthew 18:6.
Mark 9:42.
Yeah, now we're coming live. I think it's Matthew. I think it's Matthew 18:6. I should have, I got a thousand other things. Yeah, there you go. You better take this serious. Jared, go back up a little bit if you could. Let's start at the beginning of it. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? See, everybody wants to get to heaven. Everybody wants to get there. And Jesus said unto them, okay, boys and girls, he called a little child unto him. He set that little baby down. Get this picture. Get these pictures. They're all bragging about who's the most religious. And Jesus brings this little child. And he sets it down, says, sets it down in the midst of them. And he said, listen, let me tell you something here, boys and girls. Except you be converted, become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Hang on. And whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, same as greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little one in my name shall receive me. I'm thinking of my children, my grandchildren, and all these kids that are kindergarten and being taught about sodomy, and I know it's going on, and my tax dollars are paying for it. But though whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, can I paraphrase? Whosoever will permit one of these little ones who believe in me to be taught that homosexuality is normal, be introduced to sodomy, whosoever would do that and allow that, permit that to be taught to little kids, I'll tell you something, it's going to be better for you. They put a millstone around your neck and threw you into the deepest part of the ocean. You believe the Bible? And why is there no outrage? Why is it? I said to the young lady on the plane last night, I said, I won't use her name. Oh my goodness, I'm fighting for your kids. I'm fighting for your kids. Why won't you fight for them? You're a soldier. You're a leader. Why won't you stand up and fight? Why won't we stand up and fight? Because I better hope there's grace. I better hope there's grace. You better hope there's grace when you stand before the Lord and you allow the little ones in your life to be offended. You better hope there's grace. Because, hey, folks, Jesus is talking to saved folk here. He's talking to saved folk. Dang. He said it's better for you that a millstone be thrown around your neck than to let that happen to the children.
Dave, you and Roger said, but you know, I don't think Roger said was they're good people. I think good people is not good enough. You can be a good person and not be a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. Or you can be a Christian and not be a good person. Amen. None righteous. No, not one, right?
Dave?
Go ahead, bro. Yes, go ahead.
Now, quickly, what troubles me is I've taught youth for a while. My class will be ending in a couple weeks, and it's brought up to me a parent's concerned about, I said the word damn or hell in the last year. And I sit there and I think, really, that's what you're worried about?
It is.
That's what you're really worried about? They honestly, there is a lack of understanding that they believe that an hour and a half or another hour on Wednesday at youth group is going to be enough to protect their child from 40 hours of public education and what's coming across their phone.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be awakened from the pulpit, and they are not. That's what burdens me and saddens me.
Let me connect the dot for you here, boys and girls. Can I connect the dot for you? Verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it were better for him a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he would drown in the depth of the sea. See, if you are watching other people's children being misled, we got a moral obligation to do something about it. What does it say in Romans 1:28? Not only do it themselves, but give hearty approval to those who do it. And where's the move in American Christianity to reclaim those ungodly schools? Where is the move in American Christianity where Christians stand up and say, we're not paying not one more tax dollar, not one more dollar, not paying not one more. All the way down at the bottom, Jared, of Romans. Not one more dollar to deceive little ones, because I ain't going to the bottom of the ocean with a millstone around my neck. And because, verse 32, we know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do we do the same thing, but we pay money for them to teach it to other people. Once saved, always saved. Once saved, come even so, come quickly, Jesus. Yeah? I hope. So I'm feeling it today. I'm feeling it. I see it. I saw the wisdom in the room. I saw the wisdom in the room in Bangor, Maine. I saw the wisdom and the power in that video, the Chad show. We just sitting around playing tiddlywinks. I didn't get where I was heading today. Didn't get nearly where I was heading.
No, Coach, but you got to show us the real thing, just like you show us every day, because we've spent our lifetimes dealing with homogenized and pasteurized Christianity. You showed that lady on the plane the exact thing. She got to see the real thing, and you
knew I was right. She knew I was right. See, she knew I was right. Amen. I saw windows of the soul. I saw inside her, man.
Amen.
In love. In love. I told her what she needed to hear in love, Kevin.
Amen. I absolutely believe you. I see it every day in you.
Amen.
Every day.
And so she's off defending the country. How about defending the Lord? Yeah, Larry.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, you mentioned in today's show during the progress explaining about the lady on the plane and all, that people don't even think. Those people that Roger was talking about that are just filing into that building where there's 1,200 other people just filing into the building. You said that they don't think about advancing the kingdom. Well, one reason they don't think about advancing in the kingdom, because probably 99% of them have never heard the simplicity and the importance of praying the way God taught us to, because the first thing we ask for is his kingdom to come. when you learn to pray the way Jesus, simple way Jesus taught us to, you are kingdom minded. That is the first thing on your mind, is advancing the kingdom.
No, Larry, the first thing on our mind is advancing our own agenda. Hey, listen, you may not know this. I got great hope. I see the power of Christ. I know what can happen. Something good is getting ready. It's going to be bad, but something good is going to begin happening. And we have to assemble ourselves together, boys and girls, even more as we see this day approaching. That was a fast hour. We'll see you tomorrow.